Why is that one so late?
Yeah, who's really late?
Let's rock.
I don't know, maybe it's me.
Exploding Barrel Podcast for... Fuck, I forgot the month.
December 3rd.
It's your birthday month.
I thought it was December. December 4th.
Oh, right.
So,
4th.
Yeah. Oh.
So, who's cool now? That's right. Okay. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for December 4th, 2009. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Hello.
And we are also joined by a good friend Chris Whittington.
You're getting better.
Yeah, it's almost there.
I don't know why you can't say it. Where have you been for the last 3 months?
It's a long, long story, and not exactly fun to tell. But let's just say that I'm back, baby. Aha!
Oh, thank goodness!
I'm back and better than ever.
Pretty much.
And all that
I don't know
stuff.
About the better than ever thing.
Nice.
Gotta all
right.
Kick some of the rust off my wheels, but I'm doing good.
All right then. Let's do our show then. We're going to start off with the news, then we're going to move on to the quiz. We'll do a Let's Go topical. Then we'll talk about our weekend gaming, hit the releases, and that'll be the show. So I want you guys started there. Edge Guy.
Okay, so first of all, Ubisoft has announced a new Prince of Persia title, The Forgotten Sands, and this one is actually picking up where the Two Thrones left off, kind of eschewing the reboot of the franchise from, was that last year? Yeah.
Right.
So, probably more to cash in on the movie coming out this summer as well. This will come out in May 2010.
Right.
Are they going to go back to the old art style, or are they going to retain the new one?
I would imagine the old style and everything.
I imagine it's just going to look like all movie games do, where it's kind of bad realistic. It's just trying to look like the movie.
Well, it's not directly tied into the movie, because the movie's following the plot in
yeah,
the sands of time.
But I bet this Prince of Persia is going to look an awful lot like Jake Gyllenhaal.
I was worried
That's
about
possible.
That, too. See,
right.
But the thing is, Jake Gyllenhaal looks a lot like the prince, so
yeah,
it's okay.
Okay. This is the reason why I'm starting to watch more foreign films now, because in foreign films, they actually cast people that make sense in the role. Oh!
Burn.
Isn't there like that Avatar movie coming out with like no Chinese actors in it?
Is that true?
Yeah, I think
he's alluding
to The Last Airbender.
Avatar, the James Cameron film. Yeah, no, the James Cameron in 3D thing.
No, I'm talking about The Last Airbender.
Oh, really? They are? Okay, that's just stupid then.
Well, the whole point of that game's supposed to, I mean, that movie's supposed to take
right.
place in China, or
yeah.
kind of China.
I do.
You know what I mean.
Right.
All right, good.
Okay. This is from the This Sucks News. I'm kind of mad about this, even though I don't own the game. No more planned weekly DLC for Rock Band Unplugged.
It's
kind of lame.
Well, how much of it did you buy?
None. I don't have the game.
No, okay.
Yeah, why are you
why
upset
Why don't you
about
have
it?
The game? What are you complaining about?
Because it was like one of those games I would eventually get, I always thought, and just now I don't know.
Oh, my God. How much DLC should they really make for a game that probably didn't sell that well?
Well, yeah, I know, but that's kind of like the.
And they said
the
that they might go back at some
band.
Point.
New songs. Yeah, I know. I'm just kind of surprised that it ran out.
Look,
like this is all. This is what they planned on doing, is what they're saying from the start.
Everyone needs to stop thinking of Rock Band Unplugged as like a real Rock Band game. It's a much more old school music game. The fact that it got as much DLC as it did was impressive enough.
Gee, Mike, I thought you'd be happy. I was bad mouthing Harmonix a little.
Yeah, see, you can't think of anything good to badmouth them on.
Yeah, brother. Assassin's Creed 2 is getting DLC in January and February, respectively. It sounds like these are pretty substantial. Like, each one's going to be a gigabyte in total, at least. So, that's good, because I really like that game.
I haven't played that one yet, so. That's on the list.
It's awesome. So this I'll sadly probably be purchasing when it comes out. The Sonic Classic Collection for DS includes Sonic the Hedgehog's 1, 2, 3, and Sonic & Knuckles.
Why are you going to buy that? Don't you have one of these collections?
On the consoles?
Actually, I don't.
You have Sonic Jam.
Okay, I have Sonic Jam on my Saturn, which is actually at your place, so.
That's my favorite collection still, Sonic Jam, because it has that awesome 3D museum and shit.
Yeah, well, and they don't have, like, a save anywhere feature, so it'd be nice to have those portable and good. Like right. I said, I don't own any of the many Sega collections that have come out, right. So I think I'm okay in getting this one.
See, I got that one that came out for 360. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, see, and you're good, so.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yes. This also sucks. So, Battlefield Heroes got an economy shuffle that basically is a ploy on EA's part to get you to buy more stuff. What they did is, like, you can get game items in the game either with the Valor points, which are like the in-game points you earn just by playing, or Battle Funds, which are what you buy with real money. And they've shifted the economy so that, like, things that you bought with real money are cheaper, and the in-game currency are way more expensive, and the rental periods on things have gone down, where you used to be able to buy something and it only lasted for a month or a week. Now it's like 1 to 3 days. So it's got, like, everybody really upset.
Well, I would imagine they're doing this because the game is losing more money than it's making.
Yeah, they've always made it sound like it's doing pretty well, but this makes you think maybe it's not.
The first time I heard that whenever you buy any kind of a piece of equipment or a gun or anything for that game, that you only have it for a limited time, as soon as I heard that, I was like, you know, it's not going to fly with people that are into these kind of games. It's just not going to happen.
Right. It's a shame. I mean, the game itself is fun, but the problem is, too, like, especially the upgraded weapons you get, they're substantially better than the standard equipment. Someone did the math. You have to play the game, like, 4 hours a day, every day, to get enough points to maintain just one good gun.
Well, clearly you're supposed to spend some money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it is a free game.
It's ridiculous.
Right. So if you want to play, I don't know if it's ridiculous.
So a Taiwanese man has beaten World of Warcraft, achieving all 96 of the game's achievements.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was...
That is to hardcore. Of course, people are saying the one achievement he got because, I don't know. I don't know what the achievement is, but apparently it might have been a glitch that caused him to get it. It's like, shut up.
At this point, he's got enough achievements.
Like, you honestly don't think he would have gotten it anyways. So, congratulations to him. I'm sure he's very happy and proud of himself.
There'll be more achievements probably sometime later this next week with the 3.3 draft, maybe.
Yes.
Draft. Actually, I'm patch, really upset. Patch. What?
Yeah. I got my iPhone replaced because it was having trouble, and I realized I didn't de-authenticate the Blizzard Authenticator. And I understand the process to get that fixed is like a pain in the ass. So I'm not looking forward to that. Anyway, side over. EA has announced a Medal of Honor reboot, and shocking, it's set in modern day.
That's kind of crazy. But I got to say that I'm impressed that they're going to have DICE working on it. I mean,
that's what's cool, is that DICE is doing the multiplayer. So, who knows? I mean, it could be good.
I don't,
mean,
I
welcome it.
But DICE does Battlefield, right?
Yeah.
But aren't they releasing Battlefield Bad Company 2?
Yeah, that's coming out in like 2 months. That's probably what they're just moving on to. As they're wrapping that up, they're probably slowly trickling guys off
right.
into this.
Because, I mean, it sounds like it'll be pretty much the same thing.
It probably won't be as vehicle-focused and everything. It'll probably play pretty similar to Call of Duty, I bet.
Well, this is probably going to be the way that DICE is going to get back into the big shooter multiplayer realm. Because, you know, there hasn't been a big just regular Battlefield release since the futuristic one, right? 21, whatever it's called? Yeah.
42. Yeah, well, Battlefield Bad Company 2 is getting a pretty good push, and it's going to have a proper PC version and everything.
Yeah, but it's...
And it looks really good.
It's single-player focused, and the multiplayer is kind of an afterthought, so...
No, they've been really pushing the multiplayer in this one, too, because I think people had that perception of the first game. I mean, there's the PS3 multiplayer betas going on right now, and I can't get a code for it, which kind of sucks. There's the PC betas coming, I think, in January, so...
I think they'd be pretty dumb to look at Call of Duty and trying to emulate it, not have a strong multiplayer component in there.
Oh, I'm sure they'll try to put their own twist to it, but I imagine
it's just
the starting point. They'll try to find some middle ground between Call of Duty and Battlefield, because obviously going one way or the other is no good, and then you're just copying something.
Well, we'll see.
Well, at least when they copy Battlefield, they'll have an excuse in that it's Battlefield.
Right. Okay, so Capcom is bringing Ace Attorney to the iPhone, at least in Japan to start. I imagine it'll come out in America as well.
But see, will you be able to scream objection in this?
Maybe. They also have some swipe gesture controls.
So the iPhones have obviously a speaker on them, yeah. The
microphone.
So yeah. I guess Pete's probably lost it about it.
I've never played an Right. I never played an iPhone game, though, that required me to speak into it. Does anyone?
I have, sort of. Like, you know, the IM T-Pain thing and whatnot.
That's different. Like, that's not voice recognition. That's just recording yourself.
Well, I'm sure they can do it.
Can they?
Maybe. I don't know. Why not?
Because they haven't yet. It seems like something they would have done.
I don't know. I'm shrugging my shoulders. I realize you can't see that.
Okay, right.
There's a rumor.
Do more gestures.
Yes. The article came up on Gamma Sutra, but their site seems to be down, so I wasn't able to read the entire article. But the headline was that a rumor is flying that PSP minis may soon be playable on the PS3 as well.
Weird, but weird. But I mean, I kind of scrolled through the PSP mini menu the other day and noticed that really the only thing there that I'd be interested in playing is Tetris. And shouldn't Tetris be on PSN? It's just a, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Field Runners is good, but. Yeah, ever since like that program launched, Sony's gone very quiet on it, it seems.
What's the difference between a PSP Mini and a PSN game? Like, say, my pinball game. Is that a PSP Mini or a PSN game?
I'm not sure. But, like, I don't know. The idea is that they're because they're not allowed to have multiplayer and all these various features, they have a much faster and cheaper Q&A process.
Yeah, so, it's basically just little bite-sized games like you would smaller find on studios. iPhone. It's Sony's answer to that.
Next, we have details on the Star Trek Online Collector's Edition / the version Mike will be buying.
Totally.
So here's what you get, Mike. You get a deluxe hardcover manual that also doubles as an art book. 3-day guest passes for friends. You get a red matter capacitor for extra energy boosts on short term. And access to Next Generation and Deep Space Nine uniforms. All this can be yours for the low price of $79.99.
I have mixed feelings on these uniforms.
Yeah, I don't. You can't be mixing era uniforms. Everyone has to wear the same thing. That's why they're uniforms.
At first, I mean, I think it's kind of awesome because those are sweet uniforms. But yeah, at the same time, it's like, you know, it's like I hope like you know, gear. Like I don't want Starfleet officers to have like better gear than other people. Like, you know, I'm wearing level 59 plate. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got. It's all about pips, if anything.
Yes, and then like if you pre-order it, you get a Constitution class vessel.
Yeah, I saw that. I gotta go pre-order it. This version. Yeah,
that'll get you in the beta too.
Yes. Constitution class. What's the Constitution class, AJ?
The Enterprise D.
No, AJ, that would be the original Enterprise and Enterprise A.
Oh, whoops.
Enterprise D is a Galaxy class.
Galaxy class.
You guys are nerds.
E's the Enterprise. Okay.
E is in a.
Yeah, we know.
Excelsior class. Okay, what about C? Enterprise C. If anyone can tell me Enterprise C, I'd give you a high five.
That's a hard class.
One. Ambassador class.
Oh, okay.
I think the E's Excelsior class.
Yeah,
I
that's
think.
It.
Maybe just think of that right. Because it starts with an E.
In case having Steam and Direct to Drive and Impulse and the EA download store and good old games weren't enough for you, Games on Demand is also now coming to Games for Windows Live in the future.
Enterprise E is a Sovereign class Starship. My mistake.
Now that we all know how much we care about that story, moving on.
What were you talking about?
Don't worry about it. Final story is we have confirmation today that Mass Effect 2 is going to be shipping on 2 discs with a disc swap that they've said they very carefully placed so as not to interrupt the flow of the game or gameplay or story.
Interesting. This is the first time. It's the first time I've seen a Western RPG on a console require a disc swap.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Strange.
It's kind of distressing, really.
Well,
that's it.
Right before we started the news or started recording the program, I saw there was a rumor on Twitter where I guess Michael Pachter was on one of those shows on G4 and brought up this thing about where Xbox Live Gold may start charging $10 a month. You guys see that? I don't believe it's going to happen either.
That.
But
I don't
still,
either.
I mean, how ballsy of Microsoft to do that.
Yeah. That'd be pretty ballsy. Also, can I just say real quick, a story just popped up from Joystick. Headline is Traveler Tales Founder. PSP Go will die if downloads don't get cheaper.
That is interesting.
Interesting.
Well, I can see that. I mean, my son just bought the new Jak and Daxter for the PSP, and he loves it. He thinks it's a great game, but it was $40. You know, and justifying a $40 right. download for a portable game, it's going to get really hard, especially with all these people coming to portable gaming through the iPhone only. You know, they're used to paying $10 at most.
Well, but for something like Jak and Daxter, when that was a PS2 game, you paid $60 for it, right?
And it is a PS2
game.
Wow. $50 for it, right. Okay.
No, I know. The enthusiast crowd are going to understand the difference, but people that are just coming in to portable gaming because it's becoming kind of like the more accepted thing now, they're going to see that and be like, what? These people are nuts. Who's buying this, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, it's, I don't think they can afford like to release a game that probably had the overhead like Jak and Daxter on the PSP for $20 on digital download.
What's that whole question, too? Are you going to sell more than twice as many copies at $20 bucks as you would at 40?
Yeah.
You know, it's all numbers. And I'm sure people have crunched these numbers.
All right.
Quiz me.
Okay. That's time for the Great American Ad Guy Gaming Quiz. It's a lot of Tony Hawk questions,
yes!
actually. Because I've been in a Tony Hawk mood.
Yeah, that was
cool.
By the
way, nice article in Bitmob.
Thank you. But first question. Counting Rabbids Go Home, how many Rabbids games have been released for the Wii?
The first one, the second one, and I think that's the third one, right? So, three?
Four. You forgot TV Party.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, come on. That Rabbids Go Home looks kind of interesting, though. Looks
fun.
Okay, question number two. What year is the original Tony Hawk released?
'98, right?
'99.
Damn it.
Off to a poor start.
I'm always off by one. Just add one to all my answers.
Question three. What move did Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 introduce to the series?
Manual. No. Sorry. It's not.
Yeah,
manual was
right.
For
manual.
Number two. Don't listen to me. Yeah,
wait,
he said three.
Oh, he said three?
Mm-hmm.
Spine transfer.
What's the thing where you can go from bowl to bowl?
I don't remember what it was, but basically you could start doing tricks like standing like in one place, you know, where you could do like spins and what was that called?
I don't know.
Play it or something. Yeah, am I on the right track?
Give me an answer, AJ.
I don't know. Stationary tricks? What would you call it? I don't know. Sure of that.
It was the revert. You said it like immediately.
Come on. See, I said that. You talked me out of it.
Oh, fine.
I blame Rock for that one.
Question four. What was the DS version of Tony Hawk's American Wasteland called?
Tony Hawk's American Wasteland DS?
No, Tony Hawk's American Skate Land. I thought you knew that.
Maybe.
Oh, my gosh. You haven't got one right.
I know.
You almost got the one right. You had the answer for the one and backed away from it. Question five. What year was Tony Hawk's Underground 2 released?
My least favorite game. Let's see. 2000. Wait. No, wait. Let me do the math real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wait. 1, 2. Yeah, 2004.
Boom!
Yeah, you're right.
Yay.
He's had a count up from 1999.
Yeah, it was because that was the sixth one. Because they all came out once a year.
Okay, bonus question. Who are the Patriots?
What? Are you talking about Patriots from Metal Gear Solid?
Question. Who are the Patriots?
Yeah.
NFL football team.
Wrong.
Lolly Lulelo.
Yeah. why didn't you say that immediately?
I was joking with the football team thing, and then I came to the Lalo.
Good. That was just it, Rock. That was the remember Metal in Metal Gear Solid 3. It was the password in the very beginning.
Yeah, the Patriots and Lolly Lulelo.
Base would have got that right too.
Yeah.
Not me.
Probably. Okay. Good job. Not really though.
I
think
two.
You got. Yeah. At the end.
And I was very close to three of them, so it was almost a perfect score.
Yeah.
Let's go topical.
Okay.
All right. AJ, you go first. Here's my first talking point. The Prince of Persia reboot was a failure.
I don't think so. I mean, I think it did well commercially and everything. It's just, I was reading an article about it, actually, where they were talking about why that character didn't work. I think it was from a Naughty Dog former developer. And it was basically like, they said they didn't do enough humanizing to make him likable. He was just kind of all snarky all the time, and it gets annoying when you do that. So I think maybe that had something going against it. A lot of people saw the game as being too easy and the DLC as being unnecessary. So that might have hurt it. I think all in all, it was fine. I just think the previous Prince franchise is a bit stronger, and they're probably smart for going back to it.
I think it kind of depends on what you mean by failure. If you're talking about failure to the enthusiast crowd's eyes, probably, because the game was pretty quickly forgotten. I mean, for the most part, whenever people were talking about the game, they were slandering how easy it was and like what AJ said, how annoying the character was. But, I mean, they sold a lot of copies of it, I believe. I mean, as far as I know, I think it did pretty well commercially. So, but going back to the other series, the problem that they had with the other series is that they kicked out too many sequels too soon. I mean, I played through the first game, and just like everybody else, I loved it to death. But when they brought out 2, I thought it was too soon. I mean, I wasn't ready for it. And then they brought 3 out almost like a year later, a year and a half later. And it was just too much too soon, you know. And so going back to the old series, I'm kind of over it, you know. I kind of like to leave the Sands of Time as my own little gem that I enjoyed back in the early part of this decade, and just kind of leave it at that.
It still seems like they have a hard time making a game that is as universally loved as just Sands of Time.
Well, it's I think everyone's made it pretty clear, like, what made that formula work was, you know, the character is cool, everything has kind of this magical storybook look to it, and it seems like they're afraid to go back to that with the second and third one. Maybe they will for this one.
Okay, next talking point. Did someone start with Rock? No More Heroes will be more successful for HD systems.
Probably. I didn't play the first one, but I've heard about it, so I know that it's mostly an adult-oriented game. I think pretty much any adult-oriented game that was only released on the Wii is going to do a lot better on a 360 or a PS3. And there's a word of mouth. I mean, people know of that game, even though if they haven't played it. And I bet that they're going to find more of a market if they bring it to an HD console.
AJ?
Yeah, you also get the benefit of there's 2 consoles now, so it's a wider audience, and you're going to, honestly, I think a lot of the sales are going to be the fans of the series who already played it on Wii are now going to get it for their 360 or PS3 just because they like the game. I mean, personally, I played the game. It didn't do it for me. But it'll at least do as well, if not better.
Mm-hmm.
Not like gangbusters better, but better.
Okay.
It's a good idea. I'll leave it at that. It is a good idea to do it.
Next one for AJ. Phoenix Wright not being in Tatsunoko versus Capcom is a travesty.
It is a crime against humanity, is the correct answer. There is no reason to not. If you're going to put Frank whatever I covered wars, you know, in the game.
Frank West?
Not put Phoenix Wright in that game, that's just incorrect. Objection.
Objection. You lose
the
good
only,
day,
the
sir.
Only move that Phoenix Wright would have would be the finger jab.
Rock?
That is incorrect. He'd have the finger jab,
okay,
he'd have
okay.
to slam the table and knock the
okay.
guy over.
They could have gotten creative with it.
Yeah, it could have been sweet. He could have had the face palm that would have just done something crazy. I mean, it would have been great.
Yeah, if Mr. Game & Watch was a character in Smash Brothers.
Okay. Fair enough.
There have been more ridiculous characters. I played as a goddamn race car in Fighting Vipers
right.
or whatever.
Fighters Mega Myth.
Fighters Mega Myth.
The Daytona car. That was sweet.
And a palm tree, so I don't want to hear it. You can't do it. All right, start with Rock. The Borderlands franchise will have legs.
I'm going to say yeah, just because typically loot whoring games like that tend to last a long time. I mean, there's that addictive quality to it that people go back to. I mean, people are still playing Diablo 2, for God's sakes, you know. And, I mean, I still have yet to play it, so I can't really speak for the game. But, I mean, it's getting a lot of buzz, and I still see people on my friends list playing it from time to time. So, usually if a loot whoring game has continued to... When did it get released? Was it, like, in October? Yeah, I mean, this is December, yeah. And I'm still seeing people playing it, and what I've noticed is that if there's a loot whoring kind of game and people are still playing it past, like, a week or two past its release, it's got a good chance it's going to keep going. And plus, since they're selling really well, I would imagine Gearbox is going to start releasing more DLC for it and things like that, and I think word of mouth will take it pretty far.
That's what I'm going to say is, like, they have to be smart with it, because, like, they absolutely not Borderlands 2 cannot come out next year. And I don't even know if it can come out 2 years from now. I think the way to do it is, like you said, keep doing DLC for a year, year and a half. Have the second game come out maybe 2.5, 3 years from now. Don't run the franchise into the ground or else you're going to kill it. But I think it's very open to DLC. And even, like, maybe like a almost kind of Oblivion expansion style DLC, something pretty substantial. Well, that's a $30 download. I mean, much the same way that
right.
Diablo
it's,
2
well,
expansion
Gearbox...
pack worked. Maybe even like you could.
I was just wondering if Gearbox does that with their franchises. I can't remember if they released too many Brothers in Arms too soon together. You know, do they do that kind of thing with their games?
Well, this seems, but I don't know if it lends itself to it.
Plus, this already seems like it's a more successful game than a Brothers in Arms ever was.
Right. Also, too, like, yeah, like, they've never had a game like this before. They could do stuff like this. But, I mean, yeah, I think this game, like, if they did, like, some really big download update a year from now that had, like, a whole new chapter and maybe a new character class, then that would just breathe new life into the existing game and keep it going and then save the sequel for down the road.
Okay. Here's my last one. Start with AJ. Mirror's Edge deserves a sequel.
Yes. I say it does. I think they need to kind of do like an Assassin's Creed 2 with it, honestly, is take the lessons they learned from the first game, take the stuff everyone liked and remove the stuff no one did and streamline it a bit and improve what was there. And I think Mirror's Edge 2 could be really good. I think I said as much when the first game came out. Like, I feel like they got the tech down. Now they need to just focus on making a really good game with it.
But Mirror's Edge wasn't the financial success that Assassin's Creed was.
Yeah, that is kind of the dichotomy it faces. But I think it did well enough. And certainly the IP has a little bit of mind share now. I think they could and should.
As long as they don't, Rock? It doesn't induce, you know... I can't think of the word where it makes you sick, like motion sickness. Yeah, because I played the demo and I could only play. Yeah, Vertigo. There you go. I only
Vertigo.
Played it for like maybe 10 or 15 minutes. I had to put it down. It's like, ugh. But you know, I'm an old man too, so.
Were you like the Penny Arcade comic
yeah.
with pooping in the bucket?
I agree with you, AJ. I think that if they take it to a third person perspective, maybe that would help with that. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure the developers have.
No, I don't know, because, I mean, that's kind of that game's whole cachet,
yeah,
is that it's done
that's
in the
true.
First person.
I really like the character. I love the art direction and the sound design. So if they're able to come out with another little bit more of a tweaked version of that, I think it was cool. I mean, for me, Mirror's Edge, it kind of had that early PS3 vibe to it, you know, like that Wipeout feel, and you know how all these games that were coming out on the PS3 right. had this kind of similar feel to it. I associated that game with the PS3 for a while, and it was really appealing to me until I played it, and then I was like, whoa, God, you know, I'm not going to be able to handle this. But, yeah, I think if they can smooth it out a little bit, I think a sequel would be pretty good.
Right.
I think it would do well, too.
I feel like I'm one of the few people who... I don't know. I really liked Mirror's Edge 1.
Oh, I do too. I just think it has its problems. Like, I think
I know it has some problems, but I feel like people bag on the game a bit more than it deserves.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
I mean, I thought it was pretty...
I think it's because when we saw it announced and saw the concept, I think everyone got an idea in their head of what it was going to be. And sometimes it was that, but every so often it strayed from that, and people didn't like it when it strayed.
Even when it strayed, I thought it was still good.
Yeah, but I don't think people like you know, the indoor levels or the times when it was too combat heavy and things like that.
You know, a lot of it, more of the game was indoors than outdoors, really.
Yeah, I think people would rather be running on rooftops in that kind of game.
But I mean, I still thought it worked well. And yeah. Like Grog was saying, I just liked the look of the game. I thought, you know, after being bombarded with so many realistic modern shooting games and shit like that. I thought Mirror's Edge was really refreshing.
Although those insurance cutscenes gotta go.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, but see, that's another thing too. Like, to me, that wouldn't be anything I would comment on as being so bad. But I mean, everyone jumps on it. I don't know. I feel like people were unnecessarily harsh on Mirror's Edge. I thought it was a really good game. I would love a sequel. I'd like to play through it again sometime. Plus, I'd had a heroine who wasn't a walking cliche.
That's true, yeah.
But there we go. That's it for Let's Go Topical. Are we going to see a Dead Space 2? Is that pretty much for certain?
I think so. You won't see a Dead Space Extraction 2.
Are people going to stop like that whole, like, we're going to make our another game just for the Wii?
I think after that.
Yeah, I need to try that someday.
I understand it's good. With everything else, there's no way around to it.
Yeah, again, John Riccitiello made a comment about it, how, you know, he even thought it was a really great, well, obviously he's going to think it's a great piece of software, but it's just, you know, the Wii's perplexing to a lot of publishers. They can't get the core audience to buy anything on the console. I mean, think about it. How many people do you guys know who own a Wii, but they never use it? They never buy games for it. And the only time they do is whenever there's a Nintendo game that's released, like a big release, like a Mario or...
Right. I mean, I'm looking at the Wii titles I bought this year. I think it's Wii Sports Resort.
Well, and honestly, may be shallow, but I think one of the biggest things that hurts it is that it only goes to 480p, and things look muddy. I mean, like, whenever I have my Wii on my TV, if I'm going to spend, you know, $50-$60 on a game, I want it to look really good. I mean, I'm spoiled now. And just having a...
Yeah, I mean, maybe it wasn't such an issue in 2006, but I think as time continues, it really is.
All right. Well, we're done with Let's Go Topical. What's the start for our week in gaming?
Ooh, I do, because one of the things I played this week is the PC version of Mirror's Edge.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it was one of Steam's crazy Black Friday weekend sales. It was $5, and I decided to get it. Yeah, because I played it on 360 a pretty good way through, but I didn't have my own copy. And yeah, I figured I'd go for it. It doesn't entirely get along with my computer at times. It sends a chug. I have to turn all the settings down. But it does have the physics acceleration if you have an NVIDIA card. So it does some cool stuff when you're running through like the office buildings or like papers go flying and stuff, which is kind of fun. But I kind of like playing it a little better with a controller, I think. I mean, maybe it's part of the sluggishness of my PC screwing up the controls. I just felt like I had the controls were tuned for a controller in this game. I know people have said they prefer the PC version, so maybe it is just because, you know, the unresponsiveness of my computer. So I'm going to try it on your machine, I think, next time I'm home. But, you know, it is still a great game. I like it. I went PSP demo heavy one day because I haven't been home a lot, so I've been playing a lot of portable games and iPhone games this week. But I did try the PSP demo for Little Big Planet.
How was that?
I don't know.
Why?
Okay, you know how everyone complained about the jumping being off in the PS3 version?
Same deal.
Yeah. Oh, no. It gets worse. Here's the biggest problem. You know that trope you do in a platforming game where if you need to jump up a ledge, you'll just kind of run up against the ledge, hold down the right button, and like, you know, jump, and you'll go over it? In this game, you get stuck to the wall if you do that. And so you have to, like, it just changes the way you have to jump over stuff. You have to, like, get back from it and set up these jumps weird. I don't know, just, it was very unintuitive feeling. It's hard to describe. But, like, if you jumped into a wall, that just killed all your upward momentum. Like, you didn't kind of keep going up it like you're used to doing. And I don't know, it's just... Oh, also, this is really, really annoying. You can't play the game with a D-pad. You can't play their 2D side-scroller with the D-pad.
Really?
You have to use the analog nub, and the D-pad is relegated to emotes or whatever.
Can't you reverse that?
No, I saw no. Unless someone knows it and they want to tell me, because that'd be great, but I looked through the options, and I did not see that anywhere. I was like, this is really stupid. I mean, I think it would control great with the D-pad on the PSP, but there's no option for it. And frankly, using that analog nub on the PSP after a while that gets uncomfortable. Now, the other PSP game I played, or demo at least, was the Jack and Daxter Lost Frontier. And I really liked it.
Yeah, Alex really digs it.
It's really good. It almost has me wondering, though, if I'd want to get the PS2 version or the PSP version. But, I mean, you know, again, it's not Naughty Dog made this one, but like it does a good job of kind of keeping up their pedigree with the series. Like, I mean, this picks up right where Jack 3 left off. It looks great. The cutscenes are awesomely animated. Voice acting is really good. I mean, I really like it a lot.
What's like MacGuffin in that game? What does everybody want?
Oh, what's it? Eco. You're finding.
Yeah,
eco
I heard
crystals.
They say like I heard they say eco like every other third word.
Yeah, it's kind of like the what was it in the Prince of Persia from last year? The fertile grounds or whatever.
Oh yeah, the fertile. Yeah, fertile.
Yeah, so this one's eco. So don't play the eco drinking game in Jack and Daxter: The Lost Frontier.
Yeah, it'll only end in alcoholism.
Yeah, one of the cool twists in this game is that very early on, just kind of like in Jack 2, where Jack got infected by Dark Eco, and this one, Daxter gets infected by Dark Eco, and you play these like stages. Like,
yeah,
monster
Alex said
that
Daxter looks really.
And they're actually pretty cool.
Yeah, Alex said that Daxter.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's very good. I like
his
it.
His Dark Eco form looked really creepy. He actually had to back away from the PSV for a second.
Yeah, it's really strange because he's such this kind of. He's such a, you know, this comical, lighthearted character, and he gets really kind of like, it's like if imagine if the Werehog had worked. That's kind of what it is.
Creepy,
Werehog.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think what else I did. I've got one iPhone game called Ramp Champ. It's kind of like a twist on Skee Ball. I know the guys who make it are offering it for free. I don't know if it's still free, but if it is, you should get it. If not, you should still get it. It's really good, actually. Nice quick diversion kind of game. And I think that's it. Yes. I did get a copy of Rock Band 2 for $20 this week. I'm very excited now that I have my own copy, but I haven't even had a chance to play it yet. Next.
Me. The other day, I decided to finally start the Modern Warfare 2 campaign. So I kind of sat down at like around midnight and just ended up playing through it. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, so I was just up till 6. So, you know, one sitting, minus one.
How'd you feel about the controversial level?
What you think?
All right. I want to say I thought the game was really good. I still think that
in
level was
way?
Bullshit, though, now that I actually got to play it. And by the way, weren't you like... first, AJ, weren't you like telling me it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be?
You told me that like the objective screen flashed up and said terrorize them.
I did not tell. Oh, yeah, that's what I said.
It's on the podcast. We'll go back and listen to it.
Yeah, I bet, because it's not there.
I
don't understand. I don't understand how this isn't as bad as I thought,
because
you're walking around killing people.
I told you, because in no way does it make you do it. You made it sound like...
So why?
You're
still... Oh, my...
You don't have to fire a single shot in that.
Yeah, so in that... And by the way, that makes a whole lot of sense. No wonder they didn't think I wasn't one of them. Because I'm not shooting anybody, and they're planning to kill people.
Maybe that's part of the story.
Oh, yeah, that's part of the story.
I don't understand.
Defend this. No, defend this more for me, please.
Mike, all I'm saying is that, like, you told me the week before the game came out,
AJ, I told you then that was just what I had heard. What I said was that there's a level where you shoot people in an airport, and that's pretty much what I saw.
Mike, and then I told you, when I said it's not as bad as you thought, I said it's not as bad as you thought, and that it doesn't, like, flash an objective on the screen that says terror.
I never said that it said, kill 50 people! Monster kill!
This is your quote, Michael.
That's
you
not
said,
my quote!
A thing comes up the screen and it says terrorize.
What are you talking about? I never said anything like that.
If I had more time to edit this show today.
No, do it, because I didn't say it. I don't know what you're talking about. When did I ever say an objective came up in red letters and flashing like a damn skee ball
listen,
thing?
You're putting words in my mouth. I didn't say that. I just said.
You're the one putting words in my mouth!
Like the regular objective thing. That's Mike. Mark was there. It's on the podcast.
Look, ask Mark, because I didn't say that. All I said was I heard there is a level in Modern Warfare 2 where you... granted that I maybe thought that you had to kill people, but I didn't say that there's, like, an objective and that it was, like, flashing on the screen. And look, I don't... Come on. No, seriously, defend this level more for me. What is the defense? What's the artistic value? How is it necessary for the plot? Explain this.
Well, first of all, okay, here's a problem with the game. It doesn't do a good job of explaining kind of the twist towards the end. And when you understand that twist, that makes that level make more sense. I'm trying.
Yeah,
you mean
the worst plan ever where we were like, hey, we're going to... I don't understand why it was undercover in there in the first place to basically find out more about this guy when I was already right next
yeah,
to him.
I have.
Listen,
played through
Rock, have you played this game
the
yet?
Single player mission or the single player campaign? Haven't finished it yet, but I have heard the spoilers at the end. It's probably why I haven't went back to finish it right away.
Okay. All right. Well, spoiler tags for all the listeners. Skip ahead about 30 or 40 seconds. Okay, Mike, you are aware that the Commander Shepard guy, like,
yeah, I know he did this on purpose so that people would sign up for the military. I understand that. I don't understand why everyone else went along with this shit awful plan.
Well, they didn't know any better. They trusted him, so they were like, okay, this guy knows who he's talking about.
What's the point of the plan? Was to get to somebody? They were there. Kill him.
Exactly. Well, that's
I can understand why the Russians went to war with us.
Yeah, exactly. That was all part of his plan. He didn't want you to kill him. He wanted you to get caught.
Couldn't we have just, like, sent a missile over there, though? Do we really need... You know,
This is the
opposite of bluntness.
This was meant so that no one would be able to tell it was his doing. I mean, I know. It's specious. I'm just trying to explain it as I understand
it. It's stupid. And look, it scares me that we're justifying this. Do we really go along with anything? Is everything okay? Like, what's not?
You know,
Brock, what are your thoughts on all this?
No, I know.
And I won't yell at you because I like you.
You know, I don't get why everybody's so hot and bothered by this thing. Man, I played that level. I shot the shit out of civilians. I shot more of them dead than the freaking terrorists did. I was having a great time. My heart rate rose. I was like, woohoo! I mean, guys, we've been playing Grand Theft Auto, smashing into people with cards. Innocent civilians, right?
The fact that Grand Theft Auto around, that's not an excuse for me. Grand Theft Auto is fucking stupid.
I'm not here to make a value call out of the game, but what I'm saying is, it's a little bit hypocritical because, for one, it's almost like, as a parent, you tell your son, look, you can't play Halo because you're shooting people and you're killing people. Or excuse me, you can't play, sorry, let me go back. You tell your son that, yes, you can play Halo because it's not realistic, even though you're shooting people and there's blood everywhere, but you can't let them play Assassin's Creed 2 because you're assassinating people up close and personal. You're still killing people. It's just a different method of doing it. So saying that, you know, that you can play one game but not another, it kind of equates to this too. I mean, I know why Infinity Ward did this, and maybe it's because I was in the Marine Corps, and this kind of stuff all makes sense to me on, like, this militaristic scale, I guess, that, you know, this is why people in the military think the way that they do, because they understand the nature of mankind. I'm not saying that all of the military does, but, like, the higher-ups of the military think about the overall how mankind reacts to situations, right? That there are evils that get done, you know, there are necessary actions that have to happen for, you know, actions to take place, yada yada. I'm probably not explaining this very well, but I think that Infinity Ward has a really good grasp on the military mindset, and to put a level in there where they give the player the experience of being a terrorist and kind of understanding how horrible it is to, you know, to do this kind of, like, mass killing. They're just trying to cement.
You say it's supposed to be horrible, but you just said you had a blast.
Well, see, and again, here's my question with you, though. Don't you think you might have reacted to the level differently than you did if you didn't know about it?
No.
You don't think you would have been like, oh my god, this is, like, shocking, and, like, this, I actually feel bad, like,
you know,
this is
okay,
terrible.
You don't think that would have happened? My thought of it, if, like, there were children in the airport, I would have had a really hard time with it.
Why is that the thing?
There's a difference between kids who are innocent for the most part. I mean, yeah, there are little shits out there, right? But I mean, for the most part, kids are innocent, right? They don't know what they're not capable of making educated decisions about their actions most of the time. So for adults, in this kind of sick, cold way, you can justify, well, I'm sure that they've done something wrong at some point. And they're, you know what I'm saying? No, no, no. I mean, just
Okay, come on.
Listen to people who are assassins or murderers.
Come on.
Justify. No, no, I'm just.
You sound like you sound like a serial killer. No, they're all guilty.
Listen to.
I'm gonna kill them all.
That are like. Or not serial killers, but murderers or assassins or something like that, they find ways of justifying why they do what they do. You know what I'm saying? And you're playing a freaking shooter. You're shooting people. It doesn't matter if they're... You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're still shooting human beings. Are the Russians that you're shooting against, or did they do anything bad? No, they're trying to defend their own state of mind, right?
Yeah, okay, but look, there's a difference between Indiana Jones shooting a Nazi and, like, you know, artsy film that has a terrorist scene.
I'm not saying there's a difference between that. There's a definite point of view. I think people are getting a little too sensitive about it. It's definitely something that we haven't seen anything like this. We have not had a game that's given you that opportunity as a player to do before. Right, we just had.
Right, and here's the thing too. Like, if this were a scene in a movie, like if the whole game were a movie, and it, like that scene happened, no one would even blink. And a large part of that too is
if a scene like that was in a movie equivalent of what Call of Duty is, which is basically a big popcorn film.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I think. This is more like Tom Clancy usually Call of Duty. And to me, something like that. That is really has a lot more gravity to it. Feels out of place in a big AAA game like
this.
But
my point that I was about to make before I was interrupted
is,
in a movie, though, the director and combined with the script and the actor, they can show the way that the person placed in this situation, whether the undercover guy who's forced to kill people, they would show how that person's reacting. Whereas in this video game setting, the reaction's left up to the player, and you're going to get, I guarantee you, 90% of the people playing this game probably just had the reaction like, oh, I'm going to shoot these people, this is kind of funny. Whereas maybe only 10% got the reaction that really Infinity Ward wanted. And again too, I'm convinced that a lot of this was hurt by the fact that this level leaked out a week before the game's release. I am convinced that if we all play this level with no preconceived notion of it, expecting it, I know I played it critically. I sat there overanalyzing level, trying to figure out how this was working.
What's there to overanalyze? The very first thing you do is you open fire on a group of people, on a group of what I am assuming are tourists, just going through a security checkpoint or something.
Well,
and then you walk over their freaking corpses.
Yeah, and that's supposed to engage an emotional response in you. You're supposed to make you think, like, my God, these are just people. They're not like soldiers.
Oh my.
Yeah, I mean,
it's called Duty.
Well, yeah, and I said this when the game first came out. I don't think Call of Duty is the place to do this. Heavy Rain.
Yeah, but see,
Call of Duty probably not.
I see where you're coming from. I do, but this is one of the reasons why I really, really respect Infinity Ward. They make amazing games, no doubt about it, and they make games that sell a ton. But they also take these tropes, you know, this military situation, and they don't just make it good versus evil. They actually try to throw in some things that make you think about why we do what we do when it comes to military actions, right? They knew that this game was going to sell millions and millions of copies, and they were able to inject their little, like, what would you think if this really happened? What would you think if, you know, Russia were prompted to attack America based on the actions of, sorry, I'm not going to spoil it, but the actions of, you know, what we talked about during the spoiler section. I mean, you see what I'm saying? It's almost like you got a guy like Steven Spielberg. He makes huge blockbuster movies, and then he bookends them with these critical successes, right? And people will go see them because they know Steven Spielberg made them, and he's a great film director, but they don't really know what they're in for. Like when they go to Schindler's List or Amistad or something like that, they'll see these deeper... these deeper issues that most people don't encounter on a daily basis because they filter it, right? So this is kind of Infinity Ward's way of getting past that filter,
right,
which I think is really clever.
Okay, well I still disagree, but we'll move on. I still do want to talk about the game though. Because I thought it was a lot of fun, obviously. I was actually kind of surprised.
Would you agree with my assessment that, like, the good stuff's really good and the bad stuff's pretty bad?
Yeah, what's the bad stuff?
Well, what do you mean by that, exactly?
Like, I know particularly a lot of people don't like that chase level. That's like the third mission or something where you're going after that guy in Brazil.
Well, it's not a real chase.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's not a real chase.
They kind of trick you into thinking it would. But they do a good job of tricking you.
Yeah, and the level's basically a light gun shooter.
Right, yeah. The people keep coming until you move on, which is annoying.
ELA. That level and anything snowmobile related pissed me the hell off. I hated those levels.
I like the snowmobiles.
See, they also...
Really?
It's a part of this gameplay mechanic that's a pet peeve of mine where I don't know where I'm going, I can't tell, and there's a freaking timer involved. You know, it's like, you gotta get from here to here, and then you got people shooting you in the process. That's exactly why I stopped playing Red Faction Guerrilla, was when they threw me in that mission where I had to drive from point A to, like, five different points, and all the while people were, like, smashing their car into me and throwing me off track, and it's while the timer's going down. It's, fuck that, man. I'm not gonna... it drives me crazy. It's just a personal thing.
Okay. I was kind of surprised by, you know, there really aren't that many set pieces in this game.
The ones that are there, though, are pretty good. I mean, again, spoiler tag, 30 seconds. To me, the best parts of the game were, like, the snowmobile chase. The chase on the rooftops when you didn't have a gun and you fell off the roof.
You know, the set pieces.
Yeah, but like, basically the parts that don't play like Call of Duty were, like, the best parts of the game.
All right, and, I mean, it was kind of like a point where when you are just... I was kind of surprised again, like, you know, how many points of the game, I guess, really did just play, like, a single-player Call of Duty game.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, it was like, well, I've done this. But, you know, Call of Duty has really good shooting mechanics, and that stuff still works. Some of the plot stuff made no sense to me.
I know, yeah, the plot, it moves too quickly. I never thought I'd say that.
Here's my thing.
Oh, you guys can walk. Sorry, I'm at work and my coworkers are acting like douchebags. Doesn't mean you could talk.
There was a level where you're kind of escorting this guy and you don't know who he is and he's in his suit and they're talking about him. Then he's not brought up ever again. And then the next level, you have to go find some guy and you go into a room and it's like, it looks like the same exact model, but now he's dead and we're acting like he's a different guy. And it's never explained who that was supposed to be. You know what I'm talking about?
I actually can't remember that part.
Because, I mean, nothing... I had no idea what was going on.
And then they try to tell too much of the plot during, like, those loading scenes, and it just moves so fast.
I gotta say...
you know?
Right.
One little touch that I liked was... I love that mission where you're in the ice, and you have to do the mountain climbing up to the top of this mountain, and you're following Soap. And then, I think it happens beforehand, but it's when you see Soap for the first time in that level, and he's just sitting there smoking a cigarette, and he's kind of looking over the mountain, and then he puts it out, and he goes, okay, break's over. We used to do that stuff all the time whenever we were training in the military.
Yeah.
It's this thing that kind of goes hand in hand with being in the military. You're doing these horrible things to your body to prepare for war, right? And you would think that you'd be in this excellent shape, and you are, but so many people are smoking during their breaks, and they're chewing tobacco and doing other horrible things to their body. It just totally wears you down. But, I mean, it's little touches like that, to me, it's like, oh, yeah, that really happens. You know, things like that really, it's really impressive. I like that.
No, I still thought it was a great game. Hmm. I mean, obviously, I played through it in one sitting.
Right.
But that's all I played. Rock, anything from you?
Gravity Crash on PSN. And have you guys tried that yet? It's basically... The game's been called a lot of things, but I know it as Jupiter Lander, where it's basically just a little ship, and it's continually falling down to the surface, but it has little boosters on it, so you can, you know, give it a boost to make it go up a little bit more, and your job is to basically land it as smoothly as possible without crashing it. The game takes that concept and puts you in kind of like this open, not an open world really, but it's all 2D, but basically you just fly around and you have to pick up people and you have to shoot these little nodes that open doors and stuff like that. It's really clever. It's got a nice graphic style to it. It's got Yeah, it is, but you know,
it's kind of Geometry Wars.
It's different enough to be a different game. It's not. You can play like a twin stick shooter, but it's not a twin. It's not a Robotron style, just going around blowing everything up. There's actually a lot of finesse that you have to use, and you can go and you collect all these gems and stuff. And for $10, it's really cool. It's a pretty good deal. So I'm probably going to be picking that up. I've just been playing the demo, and then I play in Dragon Age, and I know you guys have been playing it. Yeah, dude. That game is good. That game is really good. And I don't want to spend too much time on it because I know you guys have talked about it a lot here on the show, and I'll probably talk a lot more about it on the Squadcast on Sunday. But something that that game has done, I think, that really outshines everything else is I really hate fantasy settings. They bore me to tears. I can't stand the language that they use and the thus and thou and all that crap, and I don't like the elves and all that. It just totally turns me off. But this game actually speaks to the player at a level where it takes real life, I mean, things that are believable that can happen in today's world, and puts them in a fantasy world. So they kind of scale back the fantasy-ishness, I guess, of it. You know, that's not really a word, but so like when I'm talking to characters, I'm not sitting there going, God, what the hell are they talking about? And what's this guy's problem? And it's like, oh, now I see your problem. You know, you're in love with this person, or it's their real world situations that are happening, and there's no clear cut right way or wrong way or good or evil. There's like all these shades of gray in the discussions. And I think this game's not perfect. I think that the combat's broken, and there's a lot of other things that are broken. And Mike, I totally agree with you that having that chest to save your inventory as DLC is bullshit. Yeah,
bullshit.
What I feel like is that BioWare knew that this game was going to sell to the "I wish I had Baldur's Gate 3" crowd. And they really put, I really feel like they put a whole lot into the character development, the dialogue, the voice acting, and they thought, you know what, we're going to have to be really strong in a few areas, and this is where this crowd looks for in their Western RPGs, and I think they totally nailed it. And I've probably put about 35 hours into it over the course of, like, I'd say a week or two, which is unheard of for me. That's like a heroin addiction for me, right? And it kind of is because I got stuck at this point in the dwarf city, Orzammar, and I just got unstuck yesterday. So now, you know, my break's over. I'm going to have to go back into the game because I had stopped playing it for a little while. But anyway, it's just I really felt like listening to all these people talk about how they beat it and they want to go back and play it again because everybody's getting a different ending. Like a really different ending, because I remember I was talking with Mark when I first started playing it, and I found out that I forgot what kind of character he was playing, but I was playing as an elven mage, and if you're playing as an elven mage, Morrigan is one of the first characters that you get to add to your party, and he had got farther in the game, and he had yet to meet Morrigan, and I was like, whoa! I mean, it just sounded totally foreign to me, but anyway, I'm kind of rambling, but it's really good, and I would be surprised if I don't pick it for my game of the year. I would be really surprised, and there's a lot of really strong candidates out there. So, anyway, so that's pretty much what I've been playing.
All right.
All right. Let's wrap it up with the releases then.
All right, here we go. We have Tales of Monkey Island Chapter 4. Maizu, Copter Crisis, and Christmas Clicks with an X. On the DSi, Photo Face, The Face Stealer Strikes, which is some game where you take your picture and put it on the characters. Very exciting. Bookworm, which is actually kind of cool if I didn't have my iPhone. Master of Illusion Express, Mind Probe, and Sudoku Challenge, in case you can get one of the four other Sudoku games. Virtual Console, The Comba Tribes for the Super Nintendo, and Solomon's Key. It's an arcade game. Xbox Live Arcade got Call of Duty Classic.
Oh, wow, that's good.
A new game on demand, Crackdown, for $20, which isn't too bad.
Huh.
Yeah. PlayStation Network also got Call of Duty Classic, three PSP games, Beta Clock, Super Pocket Tennis, and MX vs. ATV Reflex, and two new PS1 games, Command & Conquer Red Alert Retaliation, and Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, which I know a lot of people liked. And on Google Games,
my
and Tropical
God.
Reloaded, and Myst Masterpiece Edition with Riven on the way. I know. Yeah, see, you're not on Twitter.
Well,
you didn't see this, but
I think it might finally be time to bring back that Riven edition because this will work. Squadron of Shame Twitter account these days, so... Yeah. It's
kind of
like my way
I've picked up on that,
in a way, getting back into Twitter, but also keeping myself far enough away from it that I'm not constantly checking it, which is why I had to kill my account in the first place. But yeah, I know that George and you and I know a lot of people are going to be flipping out because that was a problem that we had because we voted for it as, I believe, the first mission of this year. And Bowley and a couple other folks were bringing up the point that
yeah.
You know, you can buy it, but you can have a lot of problems running it on Vista. So pretty sure that Good Old Games fixed that problem, and I'm pretty sure we'll have to revisit that mission here pretty soon.
Yep. So, yeah, what's for real, Mike?
Well, Rogue Warrior came out for 360, PS3, and PC. Got 2.0 from GameSpot, which is pretty
Although,
impressive.
You see, like, Mickey Rourke, I think this is the game where Mickey Rourke's the main character. Someone took, like, all the audio clips from it and put it together with the end credits music to make this really good rap. It's awesome.
Yeah. There's just a lot of swearing, right?
There's a lot of swearing.
GiantBomb.com, watch
nice.
Their quick look on it. Hilarious.
Yeah, I saw that. The Avatar game, or James Cameron's Avatar, the game, came out for PC, PS3, and 360. I don't understand why this game was getting... I don't understand why this game was getting any amount of hype.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing they always do. Oh, this is going to be different than most movie games. We've been working with the filmmakers from the very beginning, and we have assets from the movie, and we're going to do something different, and it's...
Nope.
I mean, from what I understand, it's kind of like... Lost Planet using the Far Cry 2 engine, which doesn't sound too bad, but
5.5 according to GameSpot.
Yeah, I mean, but I've also seen like 8s and 8.5s from other places. Who knows? I mean, if you like the movie, you might like the game. I think it's gonna be one of those.
MX versus ATV Reflex for PS3, PSP, DS, and 360. Might and Magic Clash of Heroes for DS.
I wonder if that's gonna be good. I like Might and Magic.
Yes. Strike Force Red Cell for PC. Elven Legacy Magic for PC. I thought that came out already.
Yeah, it's one of those games. It's going to be on the list.
Right, and also James Cameron's Avatar, the game for the DS. And that's it. All right, so thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of the Exploding Barrel podcast at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at squadronofshame.com. Are you even still updating our shows on there, AJ?
No, actually, may not have. Sorry.
Yeah, work on that.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, do you want us to say happy birthday to you this week or next week? Because your birthday's on Tuesday.
Well, there's not enough time now for a proper birthday.
Okay,
period.
We'll save it.
Yeah. We'll be back next week, everyone. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explainbarrel. So until next week, we'll have a good time. Bye.
Good time doing what?
Ciao.